The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Well, I guess so.
We're rolling, my man.
Kiefer and Curry, how about that? We're ready to go. I'm just coming off this week's Need to Know, and always great to get with you and talk about whatever's going on. So what's going on, Tony Curry?
I kind of wanted to do a little show called Clean the Air with you.
Okay, nice.
And this is something where we really don't have anything concrete that we really want to get into, but this thing's kind of floating around in my head.
And
there's a lot going on right now in this world. Amazingly enough, sports aren't one of them. Sports are kind of slowing down right now. Last night, we had the last night of the NBA season. We got the women's lottery, I guess the pick coming up here with the gal from Iowa. I guess she's going to be going number one in the NBA lottery pick. You had Tiger Woods this past week made his 24th consecutive cut, which I think surprised a lot of people. Saw a Billy Joel concert last night, which I thought was going to be one of these made for TV things, which is one of the most amazing shows I've ever seen, which is fantastic on CBS.
Just so
night.
Cool.
Got Talladega Super Speedway coming up. Vern Lundquist hung it up this past weekend. No surprise to anybody. But I thought maybe we'd get into this too. And again, I'm just throwing stuff out. The Golden Bachelor. Of all people to think that they weren't going to make it 3 months. He may make it 3 months. They didn't make it 100 days.
No.
He's divorced. He didn't get a divorce on the Golden Bachelor. So I'm just come up with a couple of things that I thought were interesting going on in the world.
That is a wide variety. This is like wide world of sports spanning the globe.
It is.
So it's great. The Golden Bachelor, no surprise. I thought that guy was just kind of a disingenuous joke anyway. I don't really watch those shows. The only reason I paid attention at all, a high school friend of mine, Glenn Griffith, from Peachtree High School in Dunwoody, was one of the three finalists to be the Golden Bachelor.
Oh wow.
And he lost out to that guy, so I had to watch a little bit to see who Glenn lost out to. Supposedly Glenn is heavily in the running to be one of the Golden Bachelors on the Golden Bachelorette coming up later this year. So I've got a little personal involvement in that franchise.
Well, I gotta say this. First of all, I did not watch the show. I saw some of the promos. I thought the Golden Bachelor was just an absolute schmuck. I just thought he was...
I did too.
I just thought he was a slimy piece of...
Terrible selection.
Fern-loving piece of shit. I really did. I just was like, really? I mean, he was a good-looking guy, but he came across really soft and just a total full of... He's just full of shit. And then the women that he had around, I'm thinking to myself, we know this already, right? Because old guys can get good looking girls, right?
If they have the cash,
they get the flash. The guy's got the cash. Exactly. But still, older men can still attract younger girls because if younger girls have had issues with their fathers, there's that link there. There's just what I'm saying here is very rarely are you going to see really ugly women, older ugly women with really good looking young guys, unless of course it's a pure money grab and that just doesn't happen. But you will see older men, more distinguished older men with really attractive women. And I'll be honest with you, and I know I'm being incredibly shallow here, but this is all about looks. I didn't see one bachelorette. I didn't see one woman that show I date, even if I was 80. I didn't think the gal that he hunkered down with was that good looking at all. I don't know if she had too much Botox. I don't know what was wrong with her mouth. I'm not, but they put themselves out there, but I was kind of like, he's a good looking guy. I didn't think she was attractive at all. So right off the bat, I was kind of like, you're going to marry that.
Come on, man.
It was kind of strange.
I think they'd been better off to recruit the Golden Girls, but I think all of them are gone now. Betty White, B. Arthur, Estelle Getty, and Rue McClanahan might have been a better cast of characters.
What do you say?
Boy, isn't it scary that I know all their names, Tony? That's disturbing.
Right off the top of your head, too. Well, let me ask you this, not to get too philosophical or too serious here. What does it say about dating, or how, you know, because you and I have had several very insightful shows on Kiefer and Curry about men our age trying to find nice women to date.
Yeah.
And the fact that we think that we're in pretty good shape, We keep up with our health pretty good. Financially, we seem to be doing all right. We're very, very happy in our lives. We're spiritually connected. We're lovers. And it's just really difficult. Now, a lot of people say, well, do you just sit at home all night waiting for the phone to ring? Well, in some cases, we don't really get a chance to go out. We don't go to the laundromats anymore. Maybe I'll hang out at church, you know, after a social and try to find somebody. We're doing a beer, brews, and what is it? Brews, barbecue, and boots or something at our church coming up this Saturday night. By the way, you're welcome to come by. We're going to
Thanks.
Us Catholics. Get after it, man. It's going to be boots.
I'm telling
it's gonna
you.
It's going to be beer.
I love the Catholic faith.
After about four or five boot kicking songs there at the Catholic Church at OLV, who knows where you'll meet. But I mean, I don't know what it says. Because how old was that bachelor? 65, 70, something like that?
I think he was like 67.
Aren't we supposed to... At that age, are we supposed to have kind of figured life out? We're always learning things. I know I'm always going to be smarter tomorrow than I was today. I'll learn something new every single day.
Yeah, absolutely. But
at that age, and for what that show was supposed to be, wasn't the last thing that was supposed to happen them getting married and then divorcing that quickly? I mean, what does that tell you about dating? I mean, I can be honest with you. I thought of you during the show because I know you're trying to find someone. I am too. I think every good man, single man's looking for a good woman. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was at church yesterday or Saturday night it really started to hit me. I think, man, if the bachelor can't find himself a woman long enough to stay married for 3 months, I mean, what are my chances?
Well, I don't like those shows anyway. I don't like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Now they've branched into The Golden Bachelor. I mean, they're phony. It's people just trying to get their moment, their 15 minutes. I don't think there's people legitimately on those shows hoping to find love in that wrong place.
Now, because is it Tristan or who's the couple that's been married?
I think there's one real successful one. Yeah,
they've been married for a long period of time. Go ahead, sorry.
But a lot of them break up before they even get married after that show.
Which is fine. I mean, I know there's a lot.
Because it's a show. Yeah. Let's face it. Yeah. This is not for whatever reason, it's water cooler stuff. And again, I don't want to throw the fair sex under the bus, but the women just love that show.
Yep.
Every woman that I know pretty much watches The Bachelor and Bachelor at shows, and I just don't get it. It's just so phony. I think people identify, you know, there's a lot of getting them off to the side and getting their true feelings and all that stuff. And people buy into a lot of that, but I still think it's showbiz and it's really not a legitimate thing. And now getting into the golden era, yikes. It's so, so difficult, as we've talked on several programs before, because everybody is so set in their ways at this stage of life. Everybody has their habits and their quirks. And a lot of women who have been burned by less than credible guys, or guys that bailed on them when they got a little older or weren't very good to them. Or I think good guys like you and I pay the price for the sins of our male brethren who didn't treat these women, and they're damaged to the point where they can't trust anybody enough to enter into an honest relationship.
And I was one of those brethren at one point. I admit, I think every guy kind of goes through that phase, and I'm sorry that happens. The guys are, you know, we'll ghost you, and sometimes we won't call you when we say we're going to call you, and guys will dump and do stupid things. But we have lived, we have learned, and we have grown up.
Yeah.
And I like to think that we're in a better place right now and that we deserve to certainly have. And I don't really know, the funny thing is you remember back in high school, like 16, 17, 18, and you look back at some of the girls now, like, man, I wish I just asked that girl out. I mean, she was so far out of my league. I remember this girl, like Teresa Cunningham. I wish I had asked her out, because what's the worst could have happened? And so I'm thinking to myself, you know, I wish I knew then what I know now, because I've been through a divorce. I got children. And obviously I'm not so cranked up and anxious when I get around a woman. But the truth of the matter is, I am. Those dating wiggles don't ever go away. They're still there. And so, you know, when I look at a woman, or I approach a woman, or I'm going to ask her, you know, would you like to go out and have a cup of coffee or something like that? I'm afraid I'm going to come across too forward, because quite frankly, I ran into a woman at the park the other day, on Sunday. I was walking my dog. And the first thing I do, ladies and you realize that the first thing a guy does is what? I look at the finger. I look at the finger. It's the first thing I do. I even ask what her name is, I don't even care. Yeah. If she could be driving the ice cream truck. The first thing I do is I look at the finger. I want to know if she's married. And if she's married, then I know I can just leave it alone, be friendly to her, and move on. And if she's
and then
not,
if you're approaching her, she gives you the finger. That's another bad sign.
Exactly. Give me the finger to put something on. And so
either way.
So this woman is jogging, and very attractive black woman with a child, and she's running, and they were chasing these ducks, and I said hey, how y'all doing, blah 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 blah, and I had my two dogs with me, and she's like, oh, you know, we're just chasing the ducks and da 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 da, and I said, okay, well, have a blessed day, da 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 da. Well, she runs off. I'm talking, dude, smoking hot.
Wow.
I mean, I'm like. And I would probably say in her 30s, she looked like her child was probably about 4 or 5. But I'm going to take a stab and say 30s just because that will make me creepy if she's actually in her 20s. But yeah. So we're going around the lake, right? And so I see her on the other side of the lake. And I'm thinking to myself, what would happen if I just said, hey, what's your name, by the way? Would you ever just want to go have a cup of coffee, something? Would you just want to go get a cup of coffee? Without saying anything else, you're like, well, by the way, my name is Tony. What's your name? Would you like to join me for a cup of coffee? What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
She could say, you're a creep. Thanks for asking. You're white, I'm black. You don't get this. I mean, there could have been a million different ways to go.
Yeah. And but you still don't want the rejection.
No.
At the time, because I've had so many girls come up to me at high school. We have these little mini reunions in addition to having the big ones, the 25s and the 30s. But somebody from our school gets together just about every year for these casual gatherings. I can't tell you how many women, how many girls at that time that I just thought were incredible have said to me, well, you never really talked to me.
I know.
I said, well, especially the upper class ones that say that. And I say, if I approached you in high school, I would have burst into flames. I would have internally combusted. I would not have been able to do it. I didn't think I was even authorized to even look at you, let alone address you verbally.
Yeah. Sometimes though, I wonder if they're just saying that because I know I've had women say, you know, if you would have asked me out, I would have gone out with
you. Oh, of course.
Like, there's no way you would, you know, thank you. But you know, maybe it's a situation where, you know, our lines have kind of moved. I was down here, you were way up here, and we've kind of passed each other in the night. Now all of a sudden you're not quite the looker you used to be. And I've turned into something special. I don't know. So I got to, like, long story short, I never said a word to her. I ran by her 3 different times. And every time she engaged me, she looked at me in the eye. We smiled. You know, it wasn't like I could further the conversation because she was running, I was running, and I never said anything to her. And I'm thinking to myself, why in the hell, you dumbass? Why didn't you just say, go have a cup of coffee? Probably because
it's hard. It's still difficult.
Because if she had said yes, then what would I have done? I would have freaked out. And I'm 58, dude. I've been backstage, you know, hanging out with groupies at Def Leppard concerts, for God's sakes, and I'm freaking out by some jogger at the lake.
It's so ridiculous. I wish you would get your other cohort, Josh, to give us a group rate on some serious therapy because we need it.
Oh, there's no doubt. Did you see the Billy Joel concert last night?
I did, and. It was funny you mentioned that because when we were talking about paying for the sins of others, that's what the song Innocent Man's all about. Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned to me earlier that Billy was kind of worried about his vocals. I mean, he's getting up there. I thought he did an incredible job. Fantastic. I'd seen him probably 4 or 5 years ago is the last time I saw him, and I knew he had changed a little bit of the inflection and the tone, and I noticed Jackson Browne, my other big guy that I follow, doing the same thing. They can't quite hit those really out there notes, so they just kind of tone it down, but it still sounds great. And I thought Joel was phenomenal. Innocent Man is the anthem to what we were talking about of look, I know you've been hurt. I know you've been through the ringer, but hey, I'm not responsible for that. I am an innocent man. And that's what a great anthem for guys that just want to say, look, this doesn't have to be life and death. This is just, let's sit down and see if we, have some commonality and have a nice time. But it's really a tough thing to do now because so many women have just shut it down. I watched in an era when I was a kid, going into the eighth grade, my parents split up, in the mid 70s. And that was before divorce was a thing. I mean, I was humiliated. I mean, I didn't even tell my friends for almost a year because it was just so devastating. And, and I watched my mother, who at that time was still a young woman in her 40s. She dated a little bit, periodically for the next 10 years or so. And then at about 50, she said, I'm done with it. I don't need no stupid man in my life. Mm-hmm. And she lived to be 83 years old and never even went out on another date.
Yeah. It's weird because I've been with a woman pretty much my entire life. I was always dating somebody, unless you talk about, really early in life, 16, 17, 18, they didn't really start dating. I was 18 or 19 years old. By the way, Billy Joel turned 75 coming up on May 9th.
Isn't that something?
I could not believe how good he sounded last night. There's some guys that are in their 70s. They can't hit the notes. He was hitting everything left and right. It made me love him. I always liked Billy Joel. He's not a top five guy, maybe not even a top 10 guy for me. But after watching that last night, and knowing he's been around for 50 years, he catapulted himself inside the top 10.
That was a great event.
It really was. And I have never been, you've been to Madison Square Garden, I'm assuming.
I've been to Madison Square Garden once for a Knicks game when we were up there to do a broadcast called the Greyhound Night of Stars, which was a race series that I devised to kind of mimic the Breeders' Cup in horse racing. And I was privileged enough to anchor the first 13. Nice. And the first four of them were from a studio at Times Square. That was awesome. They took us to a Knicks game. They took us to one of the great restaurants there. And they took us, Tony, to Scores, which I don't know if you've heard the reputation of Scores.
Yes,
it is. I'm not a strip club guy. I feel kind of grimy and stuff, but this was beyond that. This was just I can't even tell you. This was tens plus everywhere, and it was an atmosphere that I'll never forget that couple hours there because it was a whole different world that I had never been exposed to.
No wonder we can't find women.
We're
hanging out at Scores. We think everyone looks like a score, looks like a 10 plus. Yeah. I've heard a lot about that place. It's,
but the garden is extraordinary still. My son Clayton went to a Rangers, Golden Knights game there last year, and it was his first experience and he's dying to go back. And Billy Joel, that was his 100th concert at Madison Square Garden in his career. That is just staggering.
And I didn't realize, I'm assuming he's still going. He's doing a show every month, correct?
Yeah.
It's my understanding he does one show a month. And so he's been doing it for 2 years. And so
he did. And I'm kicking myself because I couldn't work it out. But he just appeared at Jerry's World, the massive Cowboys stadium in Texas, in Arlington, Texas, a month ago, as a makeup date with Stevie Nicks. They were co-headliners. Wow. And they even played some stuff together. And I've been in love with Stevie Nicks since 1978 when I saw her with Fleetwood Mac. And I think I maybe told you the story before, but there were no tickets. We went down there and bummed tickets to everything. And there was nobody giving up any tickets. And the ones that were out there were, even in that era, were $150 or $200, which was way over our budget in 1977. I didn't probably have that much money cumulative for the entire year, but we knew the Omni so well. We went and hung around the back and this limousine pulls up and these five guys pile out in suits and the weed smoke just overwhelmed you. And this is again in an era where that wasn't prevalent that much either in terms of, and this guy looked at us and said, "Hey, you guys want to go to the show?" And we said, yeah. And he gets on the car, he gets three lanyards for like backstage passes. And here you go. So next thing you know, we're side stage for Fleetwood Mac, and they were opening for the Eagles. I mean, what a phenomenal concert opportunity. And Stevie came off on one of the songs that she was just doing backup. I guess she goes and gets reorganized for a minute, and she passed right by us, and she had the top hat on, you know, and she's tried to like adjust it and kind of flipped it off her head by mistake, and she caught it before it hit the ground. And I was standing like right there, and we made eye contact, and she gave me a little sheepish grin, like, "Well, boy," and we made a connection that day, Tony, and I've been expecting her to come around and pick me up for the last 45 years, and she hadn't showed up. Wait, she's still not done it. So I missed that opportunity to see Joel and Stevie Nicks, and I'm really kicking myself. I wish I'd have gone.
Yeah, Billy Joel playing Madison Square Garden next Friday night. Then he plays again on May 9th. He's playing June 8th. He's playing July 25th. He's playing Busch Stadium up in St. Louis in September. So he's playing Billy Joel and Rod Stewart are playing Cleveland Brown Stadium. And what would you think? What's the cheapest ticket? What's the cheapest ticket for a Madison Square Garden show? And I'll say for the show coming up next Friday, you'll be surprised.
I would say nosebleed seat, maybe 600, 700,
$375 for,
pay that in a heartbeat.
$750 for a pair of tickets. They're the worst seats in the house, but Madison Square Garden, $750. Well, that's the beautiful thing too, because he plays there. Now there's a couple people that were actually at the show last night that have seen him every single show once a month.
Oh, that's incredible.
Think about it. Once a month you go see Billy Joel play. Because you know he's mixing it up. He's got a brand new song out called Turn the Lights Off, which was really good last night. So there you go. All right, my man. Hey, listen, we got to fly. I got more shows to do. We're going to get after it again on this Saturday morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock. It is the starting lineup. It's going to be a fantastic show. We haven't discussed what we're going to do yet because it's only Monday. But I did want to, and I thought maybe we could get your son Case on, to talk more in depth about gambling.
Yeah, because let me just say, Case crushed this weekend's Masters. He crushed it, Tony. He said on our show 2 months ago, I found Scottie Scheffler at 10-1 at a casino in Arizona. And he said, I only had it as high as 8-1. He told our listeners on the starting lineup, get online, go offshore, find what you can, get Scottie Scheffler all you can get because he's going to win the Masters. And boy, was he right. And not only did he crush that, but he also had, I always screw up the kid's name. He's from the Las Vegas area, who came in third. Hawakawa. And he tied with Mick Fleetwood, two guys Case liked, and bet them to finish in the top 10. And so he cashed big on both of them yesterday as well. So, he's on a roll. Had Connecticut, won $8,000 on the national championship.
He's rolling.
So, he's a cottage industry.
Let's get him on the show on Saturday. We'll talk about it. You got it?
Let's do it.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Okay.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.